Thank you, Dan. Is this working okay? That microphone? You can hear me way back there? Kirsty, you hear me? Okay. I never know about this thing. Excuse me a little bit. Well, good morning. Mark, I'm not going to repeat the last message I brought, so he asked me if that's what I was going to do this morning. You know, I never thought about doing that. That would have been a great idea. Oh, thank you. Well, let's see if you're going to like this one. But I really would like some audience participation this morning. No, I'm not going to have you march around in a circle, but I would like you to raise your hand if any of you have gone through a trial recently, a trial. Well, there's a couple of girls in front here. Everybody else has, huh? Including me. And Jed, did you go through a trial? Yeah, he raised his hand too. Now, did you actually consider it joyful at the time you went through that trial? I didn't think so. But raise your hand if you thought the trial actually tested your faith. Okay. And did it make your faith stronger? Do you feel like it made your faith stronger? Yeah, we have some over here, okay. Well, this is where, Mark, I left off last time, remember? Okay. This week, I want us to learn how to ask God for wisdom. When we encounter these trials, these various trials, I want to read from J.B. Phillips from James 1, 5 through 8. I really like the J.B. Phillips paraphrase because it really brings it home. So let me read it to you. And if any in the process does not know how to meet any particular problem, he has only to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty. And he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given him. But he must ask in sincere faith, without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not. The man who trusts God but with inward reservations is like a wave of the sea carried forward by the wind one moment and then driven back the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God. And the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. You know, I just realized this. I forgot to read from the Word this morning before I started. Do you mind if I back up a little bit? And let's go to Job. I really enjoyed reading this. Job is so long and so involved, but I did study Job a little bit this last few weeks. But from the New International Version, let me put my glasses on and read this. I think we should probably stand during the reading of the word, if you wouldn't mind just standing for a few minutes, and then we'll sit back down. This is rather lengthy, but I think it's really important to understand wisdom. Okay, here we go. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? No mortal comprehends its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold. Nor can its price be weighed out in silver. It cannot be bought with gold of Oprah, with precious onyx or lapis lazuli. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it, nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of crush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds in the sky. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it, and he said to the human race, fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. So that's the reading of the word this morning, if you want to sit down. Okay, here are the three main points I want to get across today, or the three main ideas. The first one is ask for wisdom, knowing that God can help. Take my glasses off. Second one is ask for wisdom with sincere faith. Third point, ask for wisdom without doubting. The number one point was know that God can help. Matthew 7:7. It might sound simple, but we need to ask God for the blessings we need. Jesus taught, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find. Proverbs 15:29. When you are sincerely striving to obey God's commandments, he will give you answers to your prayers, and you will be ready to receive them. God heareth the prayer of the righteous. Now, I know everyone in this room will encounter trials. It's just the way life is. It's just a matter of time that sometime you will encounter a trial. I realize some of you are experiencing trials right now. Lost of loved ones. I know some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you have had knee operations. I know some of you are caring for loved ones. All right? And you have children and grandchildren who have walked away from the Lord. Now, finding a pastor was a real trial. Some of we can really testify to that. But God did give us the wisdom to get through that. But we are going to face many more trials in the future. It'll just, trust me, we will. So my question to you this morning, and to myself really, are we willing to trust God? Do you and I believe that God can help us to endure the trial? And if not, why not? I hope this message this morning will help us, and I know that God will help us endure the trial when we ask for wisdom. Let's look at two different types of trials. The first one I call internally caused trial. That's where by our own actions we create the trial. We do things we're not supposed to, and we end up in a bind, basically. The other kind of trial is what I call an externally caused trial. It's something that just comes on us, like the COVID, without any, we didn't do anything to deserve that or to have to endure that trial. It just comes on us. That's an externally caused trial. A good example, a really good example, of an externally caused trial is found in Job. And this is where I found that those verses. I didn't realize Job has such poetry in it. But you guys all know the story of Job. But let me read a couple of verses here. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and he's upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Okay, we know the story, but at this, Job, well, he loses everything. The devil takes away his health, remember that? He just is miserable. He takes away all of his children and only leaves him with a nagging wife. Remember? But all his possessions were taken, all his cattle were taken, his servants were taken. He had nothing, nothing left. But in verse 20 here it says, "At this, Job got up and he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground in worship. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.'" Verse 22, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." Amazing. It's hard to understand or even comprehend that. But now let's look at an internally, that's an externally caused trial, but an internally caused trial, you might say, are self-inflicted. The Israelites in Judges 6 is an example of an internally caused problem. Let's look at it. It's in Judges 6. "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites." 7 years. "They suffered the consequences of their own wrongdoing. But now, after 7 years, they're crying out to the Lord for help." Let's see what God does. First of all, God responded to their cry. That's a good thing, huh? He sent a prophet. If you remember, he sent a prophet to refresh their memory. Hey, remember God's deliverance. and to remind them of their disobedience. Next, we see that God sends an angel to one of the Israelites named Gideon. It says in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody thresh wheat, but I've seen them thresh rice when I was in Okinawa. And they have to throw it up. They have a big tarp, and they throw it up, and the wind blows the chaff away. Well, apparently this wine press was hidden so he could throw up the wheat. So here he is hiding his wheat from the Midianites. Then, in verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Wow, mighty warrior. Remember, the Israelites are asking for God's help. God sent a prophet, then he sent an angel, and now God has chosen Gideon to help him. I really like Gideon's response, because he always says, and can you imagine saying this to God? Pardon me, my Lord. He says, pardon me, my Lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? He says, where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midians. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Again. Pardon me, my Lord. He says, pardon me. I can't get over that. He replies, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. But God's patient. He's faithful and very gracious to Gideon, well, as he is to us as well. God doesn't give up on Gideon, and he doesn't give up on us either. Finally, Gideon concedes, then it's that God enables him to lead the Israelites to victory over the Midianites with an army of only 300 men. I know you know the story, and it's a great story. We ask for help, just like they did, yet we do not see the many ways he's answering. If we are certain that the Lord is going to answer our prayers, then why do we doubt or make excuses? Maybe because the Lord doesn't answer our prayer according to our will and in our timing, it's because we don't fully trust the Lord. No matter what our past circumstances were, God has his eyes on the future. So just trust him. It's sort of like the other day, just like the Israelites wanted advice from God, I knew a man who wanted advice from his doctor. So he goes to the doctor and he says, what do I have to do to feel better? He wants to feel better. Well, the doctor says, okay, you want to feel better? Here's the best way. I want you to quit smoking. I want you to quit drinking. I want you to go to bed real early every night. I want you to get up at the crack of dawn. I want you to get plenty of exercise. That is the best thing you can do to feel better. Oh, the man says, really? Oh, okay, well, I don't know if I really deserve the best, Doc. What would be the second best? That's how we do things, right? We're not always ready to listen. Okay, we talked about an externally caused trial. Here's an internally caused trial. I'm going to bare my heart here because I did not follow the advice that I asked for. I wanted to start a Mexican food restaurant. I don't know how I got that idea, but I had an idea that I was going to start a Mexican food restaurant in Forest Grove. There was a building available, and so I asked for advice. I had to go to my insurance guy. He said, it's probably not a good idea because I know that a large percentage of restaurants will fail in the first 3 years. It's just a very common thing with restaurants. And I also didn't realize if you don't sell liquor, you ain't gonna make it. And we didn't sell liquor, of course. The worst thing was my wife said to me, Glenn, I don't think this is a good idea. And I said, I'm going to do it anyway. Now that was a second big mistake. I have found in my relationship with her over the years, she's normally right about things. Second thing to cause an internally caused trial was I didn't wait until I had the money to open the restaurant. I went and borrowed it from the bank. First year, we were doing great. We made money. I think they just came to see the new restaurant. Hey, there's a new restaurant in town. Let's go. Second year, we broke even. We did okay. Third year, I could tell it was going to be a disaster. The profits were falling off quickly. I had to go out and get a job just to pay the bills, not only for home, but for the restaurant. God was good to me. He gave me the best job a guy could have in 1981, IBM came out with a thing, maybe you heard of it, called a PC, personal computer. I got a job selling those right at the very beginning. They sold like hotcakes. I had a hard time taking the orders. But the lease was up on the restaurant. So I asked God, what should I do? I had to give up my dream, recognize my selfish pride in this whole ideal. I did not ask for wisdom from God when I started down the path, but I'm asking it now to end the misery. So I felt God saying, don't just close the restaurant. Okay, so I did. Just closed it down. Lease was up. I had to sell my boat, which a lot of you know that's very difficult for me. I had to sell the motorhome. I had to sell the livestock that we were raising on the farm. Okay. I had to sell two rental homes to get enough money together to pay the $65,000 that I owed the bank. But I did it. God helped me. We paid it off. But the good thing out of all of that, by not having the livestock there, I could rent out the barn for horse boarding. So God gave us a horse boarding business that we still have to this day. And it has been the best thing for us because I had no retirement income, so that turned out to be the best thing. Okay. That's our first point. Ask for wisdom, knowing that God can help. The second point is to ask for wisdom in sincere faith. Psalms 11:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Fear of the Lord. I thought, fear of the Lord. What is, no, fear of the Lord, what is that? So I Googled it. And here's what the what Google says. When the Bible refers to the fear of the Lord, it means having a deep respect, reverence, and awe for God's power and authority, rather than causing someone to be afraid of God. A proper fear of the Lord leads one to love him. Wow, you learn things from Google. Learns leads one to love him. James, back to James 1:5. "And if in the process any of you does not know how to meet any particular problem, he is only to ask God, who gives generously to all men without making them feel foolish or guilty. And he may be quite sure that the necessary wisdom will be given him." Proverbs 24:14, "Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Verse 6 says, "But he must ask in sincere faith." So what's sincere faith? Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." I have an example here of sincere faith. You guys all know the story, but it's about Abraham and Isaac. It's an unimaginable sacrifice to hear this. For all parents, it's probably the most gut-wrenching story in the Bible. It's difficult to comprehend how someone would have enough faith in God to sacrifice his only son. When Isaac realizes that the fire, they were taking fire with him, they were taking wood with him, but they didn't have the sacrifice. So he asks his dad, "Where is that? Where's the lamb?" Abraham responds, "Oh, God will provide one." Oh, boy. So they got to the top of the mountain. If you remember, Abraham tied up his son, put him on the altar, got out his knife, and was ready to kill him. And God said, or an angel, I think it was an angel, said, "Do not lay a hand on the boy." Abraham looked up at that point and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. Remember? So God had provided the sacrifice, and so Isaac was set free. Now that has to be the most sincere faith on anyone's part that I can think of, that would require you to take your son and sacrifice him. That's the best example I could find in the Bible. Now, when not knowing what to do, you can be sure God will give you what you need. Wisdom. But you gotta ask him. But here are some practical ways to strengthen your faith. One is to pray. Of course, be in the Word. Fellowship with other Christians. Remember God's faithfulness in your past. And practice faith through action. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Faith. Point three, if you'll remember, I know you're all taking notes, right? Girls, I see them busy here taking notes. Point three, ask for wisdom without doubting. We cannot doubt. Do not doubt. James 1:6 says, "But he must ask in sincere faith without secret doubts as to whether he really wants God's help or not." If we struggle to trust God, what is our faith in and what are we asking without doubting? The remedy for doubt is faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. God gave us the Bible as a testimony of his works in the past, so we will have a reason to trust him in the present. Psalm 77:11. "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." James 1:6-8. "The man who trusts God, but with inward reservations, is like the wave of the sea, carried forward by the wind one moment and then driven back the next. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God." And the life of a man of divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. An example of divided loyalty is found in 1 John 2:15-16. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." Divided loyalty will reveal instability. Okay, there was 3 points, remember? First, ask for wisdom, knowing that God can help. Ask for wisdom with sincere faith. Ask for wisdom without doubting. Remember, when we have trials, God is there to help us deal with the experience, but we must ask in faith without doubting. How can you really trust someone you do not know? When you ask for wisdom to endure a trial. That is why it is important to know God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I know all of us here this morning, I'm pretty sure, know the Lord, but remember what it says in John 3:16-18. That's one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, I believe. But I'm going to read it anyway, because there are people that are listening to us online that might not have heard these verses. So, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." I'm speaking to our online audience, I think, more than the rest of us here, but maybe some of you are at that place. because I, my own choices, and maybe some of you here have been hit from both sides with these trials because of your choices. But this is where Jesus can help, because he has a direct line with God. The Bible says in John 14, 6 and 7, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let me ask you, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, would you like to ask Christ into your life? You could pray something like this. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, I confess my sins and I ask for your forgiveness. Please come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Take complete control of my life and help me walk in your footsteps daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and for answering my prayer. Amen. Just remember that salvation is by grace through faith. There's nothing you did or even can ever do to deserve it. Salvation is a free gift from God. All you have to do is receive it. So, if you have any questions about that prayer, be feel free to ask any of the brothers and sisters here. We are here to help. We'd love to talk to you. All you have to do is say, hey, I made a decision to follow Jesus. Tell someone if you can. It's really a great way to seal the deal. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for James writing this letter to us about trials and about wisdom. Help us now to have that sincere faith without doubting, so that we can really learn how to fear you, Lord, in knowing that out of that fear that we will learn to revere you and learn to love you from that. So we just thank you for this time here this morning together, and ask that you would be with all of those that aren't here this morning because of illness, because a lot of us have some COVID issues or just have some other problems, like Linda just got up to the door but couldn't come. Lord, be with her and be with the others that aren't here this morning as well. And we just ask for full church next Sunday, that we'll all be able to come again and worship in your house here. We thank you for that now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From whom?